Les colloques du Collège de France.
We would now like to welcome Professor Serpil Baychi, I hope I didn't mispronounce your name, who received a PhD from the Hacettepe University Department of Art History in 1989 and continued to teach there until 2023. She's now a part-time faculty member at the History Department of Bilkent University in Ankara, is that correct? It's Ankara?
Yes.
Yes, in Ankara. She has also conducted research and taught at various institutions in Naples, at Oxford, Chicago, London, at Harvard, and in Rome. And her main research interests are on the Ottoman and Persian arts of the book, with a focus on visual culture and painting in the Ottoman Empire. And today is going to talk to us on revising the Iskandarname. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Annabeth. I wanted to start my talk to thank the organizers and this wonderful conference for inviting me here. The Ottoman poet Ahmedi's Iskandarname was the only Turkish masnavi centered on Alexander's life. Initially completed in 1390, Ahmedi revised it over the next two decades. The poet, rather than translating the previous Persian versions, used the common knowledge of Alexander legends. His expanded and original text includes moral and religious reflections on themes like mortality, ideal rulership, and divine unity. Rich in chapters on history, geography, astronomy, and other sciences, the work has an encyclopedic character. Of his 8,750 couplets, over 2,800 cover historical content, beginning with Gayu Mars and continuing through pre-Islamic and Islamic history up to the Genghizids. The last revised version extends this to Ahmet Celair's death in 1410 and ends with a lengthy account on the Ottoman history, Ottoman dynasty, from Osman I to Ahmedi's patron, Prince Süleyman, a claimant during the post-Timurid interregnum. Apart from almost 100 unillustrated copies, the surviving 25 illustrated volumes and several detached illustrated folios of the Iskandarname shows its popularity among Turkish-speaking bibliophiles. Interestingly, aside from 5 Ottoman and 1 Mamluk copy, the rest were produced in Iran, mainly in Shiraz. Indeed, leaving out of the matchless reputation of Nizami and Firdausi's, this Turkish Iskandarname competes with Persian ones in its popularity among the bibliophiles of Turkish-Persian world. These illustrated and illuminated copies, some of which executed for specific patrons, suggest that Ahmedi's text had a certain standing in highly Persianized Turkmen and Safavid literary culture. In this presentation, I will first introduce briefly these manuscripts and then focus on the alterations made in the original narrative. Okay, first let me introduce the copies. The early copies, now in Tehran and Istanbul, are dated to 1487 and 1491, respectively. The manuscripts are quite damaged by water and most likely by frequent usage, and even defaced by later owners, as you see here on the screen. The paintings are directly associated to the Shirazi workshops. The third manuscript includes 17 paintings, and as stated in the illuminated medallion on its first folio, this copy was for Amir el-Azam, Amir Nasreddin, Pir Omer Beg Pervaneci. Though his identity remained unclear, his title suggests he was a registrar in the Akkoyunlu Divan. Unusually written in Turkish, please note that the colophon is Turkish, the colophon states it was completed by Yol Kuli, son of Dervish Rumoğlu, on October 12 in 1500. Next to late 15th century copies with paintings with style of Shiraz workshops do not include a colophon giving the exact date. One of them once belonged to the Ottoman Royal Collection, is now in the Uppsala University Library, which contains 11 paintings. The other copy in Gotha features an inscription in the illuminated medallion, as you see here. How do I work it? Oh, sorry. Anyways, you see the medallion. Oh, sorry. Here, finally. Features an inscription in the illuminated medallion on folio 1A, similar to Omar Parvaneci's copy. This time, however, it reads blessings to an anonymous owner, indicating that it was commercially produced, and pointing to a dynamic market for Ahmedi's Iskandarname. Well, following these five copies, Shirazi workshops produced 12 more illustrated Iskandarnames in the 16th century. We know the exact place in Shiraz where two of them produced. The specific place stated in the colophons is rather famous but quite mysterious shrine of a certain Husameddin Ibrahim. The first one, which is now in Jerusalem, has 11 paintings, and it was copied in Shiraz in the Asitane-i Mevlana Husameddin Ibrahim in 1518-19. And the second one is in Istanbul. It was copied in 1519 and 20, at the same shrine in Shiraz. It originally included 15 paintings. At some point, 11 of them are taken out, leaving only 4 illustrations in situ. The following manuscript, copied by Ibrahim Munshi in 1530, is housed in Golestan Palace Library. Its paintings appear to be heavily renewed or perhaps remade in the 19th century. Despite the crude style, a note dated 1866 and a stamp of Nasreddin Shah suggests that the manuscript was refurbished in Royal Qajar Library. However, its original illuminations are associated to Shirazi manuscripts, indicating another illustrated copy with Shiraz provenance. More significantly, the unvan page names the owner, Sultan Ali bin Sofi Halil. Sultan Ali, grandson of the prominent Akkoyunlu Amir Sufi Halil and a member of Musullu Turkmen tribe, was among the first Turkmen supporters of Shah Ismail in the early years of 1500. Next two manuscripts, though copied 8 years apart, show some resemblances and individualities. The first, now in the British Library, was completed in 1533 in Shiraz by the hand of Muhammad Katib. Please note again that the colophon is in Turkish. Unfortunately, it is missing many folios and currently includes only four paintings. However, it must have contained at least eight more, evident by the number of couplets on the missing pages, some of which left traces of pigments on the facing page. The second one, oh sorry, these are the paintings from British Library copy. The second one, dated 1541-42 and housed in St. Petersburg's Institute of Oriental Manuscripts, contained 21 paintings, and it stands out for using Turkish rather than Persian for its headings, which is really a unique feature among the surviving copies. It was copied in Shiraz by a certain Muhammad Katib, and possibly the same scribe as the British Library manuscript. Its Turkish colophon provides the name of the owner as Durgadirli Amir Hazin Şahkuli Beg. I have not been able to confirm the identity of this patron or determine if he was the same as Şahkuli Halifa, the Muhurdar, keeper of the royal seal of Şatan Mazb, who was appointed in 1532 and known for his involvement in book arts and literary patronage. However, no sources suggest that Şahkuli also served as a hazin, treasurer, casting doubt on the identification. Well, whether or not they are the same person, Hazin Şahkuli Beg was evidently an important court official who ordered a lavishly illustrated copy of Ahmedi's Iskandarname, underscoring its language further through the headings also translated in Turkish, an idiosyncratic alteration in the tradition. Although completed slightly earlier and in Herat, another manuscript should be addressed as a key example of Turkmen patronage for Ahmadi's Iskandarname. This manuscript, with its gold-sprinkled margins, exquisite binding, fine illuminations, and 11 paintings in early 16th century Herati style, stands out among its peers in excellence. Its colophon, oh, these are the paintings. They really are wonderful. Its colophon states that it was produced for Hazreti Durmuş Han. Durmuş Han Şamlu was Şah İsmail's nephew, born to İsmail's sister and one of his special companions, Ehli İhtisas. He became Lala of newborn Mirza in 1517, and in 1521 was appointed as the governor of Herat with Sam Mirza, where he died in 1524. Apparently, he had all the wealth and status to commission of fine manuscripts. This appears to be the only surviving example bearing his name as patron. But two additional Turkmen manuscripts are known that I have not included in this talk as I was unable to consult them. Both were sold at Sotheby's auctions. One of them, dated 1585, bears seal impressions of Gulame Şah Murşid Kuli, who served as a vakil or representative during the early reign of the young Shah Abbas. This gives us yet another example reflecting the continued interest in Ahmadi's work among the Safavid Turkmen elite. The last group consists of four interrelated manuscripts copied between 1557 and 1561. All open with, as you see here, all open with full-page illuminated frontispieces, and the pages preceding or following the paintings share similarly designed layouts. Well, this is very common for the Shirazi manuscripts, but still. What defines them as a group is that they were all copied by the same scribe. However, the earliest of the four, the one in Topkapı R 813, stands out among its counterparts, which with distinct features, to which I will return soon. Leaving the last group of Shirazi manuscripts for now, I would like to share some observations on the textual alterations commonly found in the Turkmen manuscripts of Ahmedi's İskendername. The work survived in several versions, all produced during the poet's lifetime. In his recent critical edition, Robert Dankov identifies five different versions. Besides, of course, we encounter the usual kinds of textual variations, typical of manuscript transmission, simple copyists' errors, such as a couplet appearing in a mixed order, or words or verses copied mistakenly, or some couplets omitted entirely. However, in these Turkmen manuscripts, one can identify deliberate alterations that reflect specific linguistic, political, and religious preferences. Most notably, these copies persistently feature certain linguistic modifications. Especially, they show signs of deliberate orthographic modernization aimed at making the text more accessible to Azerbaijani readers, as the late Turkologist Cyril Mandi remarked. For example, we see frequent use of nun and kaf together instead of a single silent kaf for the possessive suffix, saying men instead of ben for first person pronoun, and substitution of be with we, for we, among many similar changes. These adjustments align with Ahmedi's language to match the Azerbaijani accent without altering its content. Azerbaijani, or Kızılbaşı, as referred by the head librarian of Shah Abbas, Sadıki Beg of the Afşar tribe, was the common language among the Turkmen's populations living in eastern Anatolia, Azerbaijan, Fars, and Khorasan. Many 16th century poets, including Shah İsmail himself and the Ottoman Persian poet Fuzuli, chose to write in Azerbaijani Turkish. This choice is particularly striking given Fuzuli's own view of Turkish as a limited and arid language in the preface of his Leyla ve Mecnun, as opposed to the melodious and easy-flowing Persian. He himself identifies the languages like this. This choice is likely related to the need of addressing to Turkmen communities in their native tongue. In fact, Vladimir Minorsky explains the use of Azerbaijani by Shah İsmail in his poetry as a necessity to address his followers in a language fully understandable to them, instead of Persian. Another group of modifications seems more radical and rather political. A striking and consistent amendment commonly shared across all Turkmen copies is the complete omission of the chapter on the history of the Ottoman dynasty. In other words, the Ottomans, nemesis of later Akkoyunlu and Kızılbaş Turkmens, were sort of expelled from historical narrative. Here, I would like to turn back to the Shirazi manuscripts copied by Hasan Katip between 1557 and 1561. Curiously, the last three manuscripts copied by Hasan Katip include the history of Ottomans, beginning with an illuminated frontispiece and ending with paintings of Emir Süleyman's court. These paintings and their textual context offer key insight to the intended audience. Including this illuminated and illustrated chapter, these manuscripts were evidently prepared for the Ottoman market. Though it remains unclear whether they were commissioned directly. What we know, though, that at least two found their way to the Topkapı Palace. One is still kept there, and the other, now in St. Petersburg, was in the Royal Library until 1755, as shown by the endowment stamp of Osman III with that date. The earliest dated manuscript by Hasan Katip, in contrast with the others, omits the Ottoman section, in line with other Kızılbaşı copies. This manuscript was also made for a Kızılbaş emir, or possibly for the Safavid Royal Library. Ottoman accounts of the circumcision festivity held by Murat III in 1582 cite an illustrated Turkish Şahname among the gifts from Şah Muhammed Hudabanda. It is tempting to identify this gift with Hasan Katip's first copy, which originally belonged to the Safavid Library and selected as a fitting diplomatic gift. If so, we have another fine copy of the Iskandername prepared for a Safavid patron. Going back to the amendments, although I haven't compared all existing copies, my work so far shows that the 16th century manuscripts often show editorial changes in the historical chapters, particularly those covering the early Islamic period. In some copies, the changes are subtle but significant, particularly in the chapter headings. For example, the reigns of Abu Bakr, Omar and Osman, as well as Umayyad caliphs, downgraded from the religious leadership, khilafet, to the political one, emaret. These sections and those on the Umayyads were also quite severely abbreviated, especially the verses praising the Sunni caliphs were deliberately omitted. In some other manuscripts, these sections were removed entirely. One specific example of censorship in the Turkmen copies of Iskandername is the removal of a 15-verse passage on the reign of the fourth Abbasid Caliph Al-Hadi. Historically, Al-Hadi ruled only 14 months, around 785-86, and was known for his cruelty towards Shia and severe restrictions on the Alids. In response, the Alids, led by Ali bin Hussein staged an uprising. They briefly gained control of Medina and marched toward Mecca, but were turned away by the city. In nearby Wali, Fakh, they were defeated by the Abbasid army, and Ali bin Hussein and his followers were killed on June 11 in 806, I'm finishing, 786. This event became known all among the Alids as the second great tragedy after Karbala. In recounting this event, Ahmadi sides with the Abbasids, and without explicitly mentioning the Shia, he compares Sunni Islam with other beliefs and equals the non-Sunni Muslims with unbelievers. Although brief, the omission of this passage from all Turkmen manuscripts sheds light on the ideological filter to shape the historical narrative in line with contemporary sensitivities. In sum, the 15th and 16th century Shirazi and Harati manuscripts of Ahmadi's Iskandarname stand out in the history of the arts of the book in Iran and Central Asia. They represent the only work written in Western Turkish to be repeatedly copied as an art object within a highly Persianized cultural milieu. These manuscripts are unusual for not only integrating Ottoman and Persian literary and visual themes, but also for their wide appeal among Ottoman, Turkmen, and Safavi patrons. Furthermore, given the scarcity of the dedications naming the commissioners in Islamic manuscript tradition, the presence of ownership inscriptions in this relatively small group suggests a deliberate conscious engagement with the text. Turkmen patrons adopted this Iskandarname, which included mystic discourse, moral instruction, and other educative information, as well as repeating a well-known legend with its Persian versions. The content, when contradictory, was edited to align with their own religious, ideological, political sensibilities. Language must have been crucial in this preference, indicated by the diligent work done to convert it to Azerbaijani. The majority of the 16th century copies date back to the decades when the Kızılbaş emirs and courtiers were at the peak of their power. Ahmadi's work, appropriated in their native tongue, which was also the tongue of Shah İsmail's Divan, clearly resonated with their political and cultural identity, especially as a challenge to their persistent rivals, the Persian speaking Tajiks. Lastly, the illustrated Turkmen copies of Iskandarname not only reveals how literary heritage was reshaped across cultural and political frontiers, but also invites us to rethink how language, patronage, and ideology intertwine in the making of manuscript culture. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.